Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Here we go. The best time of the week. Grab a cold one out of the fridge. Rip it open and wash away your troubles.
Rugby league, that's why we love it.
The footy's on the radio. And how good is it? Strap yourself in because you've never heard the footy like this. Yeah. Welcome. Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the footy.
Welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL. Thanks to Aveco. And both games over the weekend have been decided by field goals. Cronulla over the Panthers, 21-20. Rabbitohs over the Dragons, 13-12. Dragons are finished for the year, and so are Penrith. Those scores, as always, thanks to our friends at Tyre Power. And look, as we said, one of the victorious teams over the weekend was the Sharkies. And now here's an opportunity for Hoops and Kenty and Gordon Tallis to speak to this man, another field goal kicker from over the weekend, the star of the Cronulla Sharks, Chad Townsend. Welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL, mate.
Thanks for having us, guys.
How are you feeling, though, mate? You kick one field goal, then you get gazumped by Adam Reynolds, who kicked three. What are you going to do this weekend? Kick four?
Yeah, it was geez, impressive last night, wasn't it? You know, both games obviously going down to the wire, and last night was definitely an exciting game as well.
Chad, Maroon's a massive South fan, mate, so just ignore that. The fact is, mate, all you need to say to him was, Maroon, we only needed to kick one, and that's what you did. So you got away with it. Mate, it was a very, very good result, but it puts you right in line with the game we've all been waiting for. You blokes up against the Storm. You've got a pretty good rivalry with these guys.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we've come together in some big games over the last few years, and we've performed quite the rivalry. So I think that, and you know, that's what you get when you get to you know, quality teams coming up against each other. You know, you get a quality matchup, and it's going to be no different, you know, this Friday night.
How will the Storm be different without Cooper Cronk in the side from what you've seen in previous seasons? Is there much difference in them? I know the rivalry will be the same, but in actual performance, will they be a different team?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, obviously, you know, Cooper Cronk, the player he is, you know, he's unreplaceable. I think, you know, how clinical he is, he's probably taken that aspect to the Roosters team, and I think you saw that, you know, 2 weeks ago when we played the Roosters, how clinical and disciplined they were. And if anything, that's probably a little bit of what the Storm have lost probably this year, if I had to put it down to one thing.
Is there any update on your injured blokes, Chad? Obviously, we saw Luke Lewis finish the game on the sideline, so too with your captain, Paul Gallen. Do you think they're both good chances of playing Friday night? Or?
Yeah, I mean, at this stage, I know the boys were going for scans yesterday. We had a recovery session yesterday, so at this stage, I haven't heard back exactly, you know, the results of those scans, but I've got no doubt the boys will be given every chance to play on Friday night, and fingers crossed they both can, you know, pull on the boots.
Yeah, you touched on the guys that got injured on Friday night. What about Josh Dugan? That seemed a little bit sort of weird that he pulled out so late.
Yeah, look, he had a bit of a lingering shoulder injury that he that had happened during the Roosters game. He didn't do much training throughout the week, and then they chose to rule him out of the game, you know, just prior to, I think it was just before captain's run. So, you know, it was unfortunate, but I think he'll be right to play this weekend.
What about your combination, Chad, with Matt Moylan there on Friday night? It was on exhibition for everybody to see. You're obviously on the right side and Matty's over on the left. He had a point to prove against his former club, but what is it about that combination that's just allowed you to really flourish at the right time of the season?
Yeah, look, Matty and myself, we put in a lot of work. Obviously, you know, a new combination in Matty changing teams in the off-season. And, you know, these things don't happen overnight. So for us, it was about putting in the time and the work and obviously getting games under our belt and, you know, feeding off each other and how each other plays. And like I said, we put a lot of time into our combination. And now I think we're seeing those benefits. Matty's one of the most smartest guys I've come across within terms of footy knowledge and footy brain, and you know, he's got a wealth of experience, and his ideas that he contributes to our game plan are, you know, really up there.
One of the things we know about Cronulla, mate, is how tough they are. They're the side that just won't go away. You guys, I think probably more than any team in the competition, just love getting in that little wrestle with other teams and just grind away on each other, knowing that you'll come out on top. When you bring a bloke like Moylan into the side, though, how does that change the dynamic there?
Yeah, look, I think he's fit into that mould, you know, really well. You know, as you mentioned, we're a team that likes to grind it out and, you know, really take it to a team and back ourselves to win it at the very end. And I think, you know, with Moisa, you know, he's brought a real toughness. Even though he's playing in the halves, you know, you see some of the stuff he does off the ball, like kick chases and chasing from marker and making big tackles. You know, he's a real tough kid, and he's proved that the last 2 weeks.
Mate, what about Val Holmes? He's, mate, he's improved out of sight. Who calls all those little trick plays on the inside?
Yeah, look, it's a bit of a combination of both. You know, Val has obviously, in my opinion, taken his game to the next level this year, and he's really found his voice in obviously attack and more so defence as well. You know, organising our defensive line is, you know, one of the key jobs of the fullback. But, yeah, I think he's really found his voice, you know, in both of those aspects.
You're speaking in the paper today, mate, about Shane Flanagan's future. You say you want the club to resign him. Why are they being slow to resign him, do you think?
I'm not too sure. You know, obviously, you know, the club obviously would like to make their due diligence and do their homework and things like that. But, you know, I can't control what happens there. You know, we can only control what, you know, Flano does day in, day out with us as a team. And so far, he's done a really good job with us.
Chad, the Storm will get Nelson Asofa Solomona and also Will Chambers back into their team for Friday night's games. But fortuitously for the Sharks, your record in Melbourne, especially recently, I think you've beaten them the last two times down there. What is it about playing against the Storm and this rivalry that really brings the best out in Cronulla?
Yeah, I think, you know, with the Storm, you know that they're not going to beat themselves and that you really have to take it to them. And as you mentioned, the last two times we've been down there, we've had success. So, you know, we're looking forward to the game. We don't, it doesn't matter to us that it's in Melbourne. We know we've had success before down there. So, you know, it's going to be a big game. We're looking forward to it.
All right, mate, we'll let you go and get ready for it. All the best. And, of course, all that live on Triple M NRL as we rock the finals next week. Thank you, Chad.
Cheers, boys. Thanks for having us.
There he is, Chad Townsend. That's all thanks to Celebrations helping you celebrate. But Kenny brings up a point there, Hoops, about Flano, because we hear about coaches like, you know, the Madgers, Trent Robinson's, a couple of other, you know, obviously Craig Bellamy. But Flano's had as much success over the last few years as any of them. You would think Cronulla would be wanting pen to paper.
His record's strong, but I think, as we saw with some of those headlines earlier in the year about this ongoing salary cap investigation, I think there's a bit of a divide. Shane Flanagan's got immense support from the Cronulla board of directors, but I think there's other power brokers at the club that aren't rushing out at this point in time just until that investigation is brought to a close. So I think that's where it sits at this point in time.
Okay, so the Panthers' season finished over the weekend. Of course, they've just given too many teams too many starts in the last 5 or 6 weeks, and it finally caught up to bite them on the bum. What we'll do is we'll have a song, we'll come back, we'll talk about Penrith. Are they any closer to settling on a coach? Where do they go? Do they move forward next year? It's all coming up as Triple M rocks the NRL finals. Triple M rocks the NRL finals with Hoops, with Paul Kent, with Gordy Tallis and Maroon. We do it thanks to Aveco. If you're buying a truck, go and see Aveco, your dealer of the year.
Triple M rocks the Redfern Rocket. Anthony Maroon.
That was a special request, wasn't it?
Yeah, I love that nickname, Redfern Rocket. I don't know where it comes from or what it means, but I like it.
You're up and about.
Yeah, I sure am. Every Sunday morning, just before we come to work. Now, boys, what about this Penrith business? They've had a funny year, haven't they? They've got so many stars on the field. So many games they won, they had to come from a long way back. And then we get to a couple of weeks before the finals, the coach gets sacked, an interim coach in Cameron Seraldo gets put in. Now we're hearing that perhaps Cameron is firming as the coach for 2019 and beyond. I'm thinking, if I'm a Penrith supporter, Hoops, I don't give this year a pass mark. There's a lot of bad blood around this year if you're a Penrith supporter, I think.
Yeah, look, it might be a little bit tough, Anthony. They got a premiership-ready roster, in my opinion, the Panthers.
I agree
with
that.
It's a damn good roster. Now, for whatever reasons, we heard the rumblings at the start of the year that Phil Gould and Anthony Griffin were butting heads. That ultimately led to Anthony Griffin being moved on about 6 weeks out from the semi-final series, and Cameron Seraldo takes over. It's the third year in a row that the Panthers have bowed out in the second week of the finals. So I think whoever they do get as their new head coach for next season, they're going to want to make sure that they get that appointment right. Because if they get the right person, the roster's ready to go.
The big issue for Penrith is to decide whether it was a par or not this year. We did second week of the finals. Is that where they expected to be? Did they expect to go further or were they expecting less? Now, given the complicated history of the past 2 months, a lot of people would be saying, well, they probably expected to do less. so therefore they achieved. But then I tend to think they probably got to about where their level was, Penrith.
And I think it's a par for the season. I know because of all the upheaval around the coaching position that's created a lot of headlines and a lot of debate about whether it was the right call or not. But when you look at the other best sides in the competition, the Panthers, as good as their roster is, they're probably just one key player away.
Yeah, look, they've got a great roster, and I think they are premiership ready, and they don't come around. And I think the injuries at certain times, their coaching drama, they had a few off-field dramas that probably unsettled them a little bit, but they're going to be around there fighting again. I think if they do this again next year and don't go closer or make a grand final, I think that, you probably start changing the roster because because they can't get them across the line. But it's a great young roster, great game of footy. Their starts are poor, and you can't allow to have a side like the Sharks, a tough old side, get 18 points in front of you in a semi-final. Simple as that.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it. It's easy to say, and you can argue both ways, whether sacking Anthony Griffin was the right thing. You could argue that if they'd sacked him earlier, they could have gone further. Or by sacking at the time they did, that disrupted them and that stopped them from going further. I do know that they need to sort it out quickly, though. It's a club that has been there or thereabouts for some time, and they're continually rolling over their roster, and they're continually bringing new blood through, trying to cherry pick players from here and there, such as James Maloney. But at some point, they've got to pull the trigger, the Panthers. They've got to say, right, we're having a proper crack this year. This that we're getting ourselves in a state ready to win a comp is unacceptable. They've got to start saying, look, this is our year. Every time the Panthers get talked about as premiership contenders, generally Phil Gould or someone else comes out and says, oh, look, that's a little bit ambitious, and we're still sort of building our roster. You can't keep building a roster. You've got to at some point say, this is our year.
So let's talk about it then, boys. Okay, so let me throw this open to all of you. Does Cameron Seraldo keep the job? There's a lot of coaches. Madge McGuire is out of a job. Des Hasler. We talk about what Wayne Bennett's going to do in the future. Trent Barrett will be free to coach another club. Who coaches Penrith next year, Hoops?
Well, it's a $1 million question, Anthony, and I don't think we've got any clarity on it. We know that they really wanted Ivan Cleary, but he's obviously under contract at the West Tigers. So for that to happen, there would need to be all sorts of negotiations go on behind the scenes. We see Nathan Cleary in the paper today tipping his hand that most likely he's going to remain with the Panthers. That's now been being reported for around the last 6 or so weeks. So who coaches him? I'm still as confused as everybody else about it. Mm. I'm not sure that the power brokers of the club have actually made that call. Who's in the mix? Ivan Cleary's in the mix. Cameron Seraldo's in the mix. Maybe a Wayne Bennett's in the mix. Maybe a Michael Maguire's in the mix.
Okay.
Yeah, look, I don't, and this sounds crazy, but I wouldn't discount Shane Flanagan either.
What, you're saying Shane Flanagan could be there as soon as next year, Paul?
I think it's a possibility. I think it's slim, but I don't think it's impossible. The Shane Flanagan is managed by Wayne Beavis. Let's remember, this salary cap investigation into Cronulla has been going for 3 months. Shane Flanagan, immediately after Anthony Griffin was sacked, Shane Flanagan was one of the names that popped up, which just sounded absurd. Now, at the time popped up, though, and that's what people were saying, it popped up, we didn't know that there was a salary cap investigation going on at Cronulla and about possible roles in that. So that's got to play out. I think Beavis has obviously got a strong relationship with Phil Gould. Flanagan's a very good coach. He knows what he's doing. He's been able to win premierships. We can see that. And I think that someone like Phil Gould, who has worked with Shane Flanagan when he was a lower grade coach at the Roosters way back when, has a sympathetic ear towards what Shane Flanagan can do and how they can work together. I don't think Penrith really know themselves what they're doing at the moment. I think there's a range of possibilities that they're basically sitting and sorting through and going through various scenarios. The odds on money was on Ivan Cleary. We all know that. That has now changed because of the resistance from the West Tigers to grant Ivan Cleary a release. If I'm the West Tigers, though, I bring Ivan Cleary in. I say, listen, are you here for the long haul, or are you here just to serve out your next 2 years and then go to Penrith? Hmm. Now, depending on what that answer is, he's, I dare say, I'm here for the long haul. If I'm West Tigers, I'm saying, well, if you're here, let's formalise it, and I would offer him a contract extension now.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happens over the summer, for sure. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens over the next few weeks.
So, just in closing on this, Paul, you are of the belief that right now the directors of the Panthers don't know what's going to happen next year themselves.
I don't think they're clear. I think they've got various situations of various. They've probably got four or five coaches that they're looking at, as Hoops named them, and I think they're looking at all of them and the possible way it could work. Now, some coaches like Ivan Cleary, I don't think they will be getting immediately. So then they say, well, do we wait for Cleary and we put Serraldo in as an interim for the next 2 years? Do we then want to deal with the speculation and the innuendo around the game for the next 2 years as Serraldo holds the job? There's a lot to happen. And
you can't bring a coach in for 1 year now, Paul, can you?
Then he wins the, then he wins the premiership. Then what happens? With the ready-made premiership side, Hoops, as you said.
He raises his value and he puts himself in a good position to negotiate for his next deal, whether that's with his current club or whether that's with another club. But if they said, OK, let's wait for Cleary and we'll bring in Serraldo for 2 years, and Serraldo happened to win a comp, there's every likelihood they then say, you know what, let's just put Cleary on the ice now because we don't need him. We've got a bloke here who shows he can win a comp. So that would be a fortunate situation for the administration. It makes them look smart. They've brought in Serraldo and he's delivered for them. But they're buying themselves time. I think at some point they've got to sit there and they've got to figure out when they're going to try and have their crack at the premiership rather than continually building for a premiership.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL, Paul Kent, ooh, James Hooper, Gordon Tallis, and Maroon. Now, if you've missed any of today's show or you want to listen to every Triple M call, regardless of where you are in Oz, go ahead, download the Triple M NRL app from the App Store or Google Play Store right now. Catch up podcasts, live calls, full game replays. You do want to have it in time for the NRL Grand Final. Triple M NRL app, download it now and don't miss a minute of the footy here, because Triple M rocks the footy at least. We're going to speak to Graham Annesley right after this.
Welcome back. Triple M rocks footy.
Yeah, right across the Triple M network. We rock the footy, we rock the NRL finals and the grand final. Our interviews too are always thanks to Celebrations, helping you celebrate. Maybe you're celebrating the team's win. Last night, Rabbitohs 13, Dragons 12, and on Friday night, Sharks over the Panthers 21-20. Paul Kent, James Hooper, Gordon Tallis, my name is Maroon. Our next guest is a man with a long association on many, many levels with the great game of rugby league. He was the chief executive of the Gold Coast Titans up until recently, and he joins us on Sunday Triple M NRL. Graham Annesley, welcome.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Fantastic, mate. I mentioned that you are about to move into a new role with the NRL. Can you tell us a little bit about that role, the title, and what it involves?
Yeah, look, I'm still finishing up at the Titans. I've got another couple of weeks to go, and then I've got to relocate to Sydney to take up the new role at the end of October. And basically, it's the head of elite competitions is the title, but what that effectively means is overseeing all the operational aspects of our senior competitions, which includes the Telstra Premiership, the women's competitions, the referees, the medical, the match review, judiciary, you know, pretty much the whole bag of what causes all the controversy all the time.
Would that include things, Graham, like the current Sam Burgess investigation?
No, it won't. It's only relating to on-field matters. So clearly the integrity unit under Nick Weeks will continue to deal with off-field matters. So, yeah, my role is limited to on-field matters.
I bet that saves a migraine.
Well, as part of the executive team, you know, I'm sure that everyone gets some input into all of these matters, but, you know, I won't be dealing with them publicly.
Graham, I've been asked this question the last couple of weeks. Obviously, Peachy's been, you know, rumoured to be wanting to backflip and all this kind of stuff. In 1995, I had signed two contracts and the Dragons made me sit out a year. Is there going to be another player that doesn't honour his contract that has to sit out a year?
I don't think so, Gordy. I think that, you know, I think that Tyrone will honour his contract. You know, of course, that remains to be seen at this stage, but, you know, my personal view is he will. I think that this, you know, most recent controversy that's blown up over the last week, we didn't want to deal with publicly. We've been, you know, my head of football, Phil Moss, has been dealing privately with Tyrone's management, and we were hoping that we could get the matter resolved privately. But once it became a public issue, I had to defend our club and defend my my staff.
What exactly have you been resolving?
Well, there's been some negotiations going on behind the scenes about Tyrone's family and, you know, whether they are completely comfortable with relocating from Penrith, where they are obviously very comfortable. We've got great welfare staff who help players relocate all the time. I know it's a big thing to pack up and move. I'm about to do it myself, and it's a massively stressful time, but we've got wonderful welfare staff that help players do that and do it successfully with lots of support and helping find accommodation and helping them settle in. But there's been some discussions over the terms of the agreement that was settled back in March and signed back in March, and we were hoping to resolve those matters without it becoming a public issue, but when it did go public, I had to respond.
Just on those negotiations, Graeme, we heard from Gus Gould during the week that the Titans had actually made an inquiry in relation to James Maloney and his possible availability, given that Tyrone Peachey did have cold feet. Is that your understanding of it, or...?
Well, there was certainly a discussion between Phil Moss and the Panthers about Maloney some weeks ago, but the information that I've been given and the way we operate at the Titans is that I don't handle player negotiations. They're handled by Phil Moss, our head of football, was that was an inquiry about Maloney's availability generally. And, of course, you can't negotiate with any player unless you get the approval of their club. And we were very quickly told that he wouldn't be released, so that was the end of that conversation.
So it wasn't in regard to a swap between we'll let you keep Peachey if you give us Maloney?
No. We've still got some capacity if another elite player became available, and that was the discussion as it's been relayed to me through Phil Moss.
Okay, on to another matter. The last night we saw that game where there's a controversial penalty against St George Illawarra when Cameron Murray was laying in the dummy half area. How are you going to fix that when your new job starts?
Well, look, I think there's all sorts of interpretations and rules within the NRL competition that we need to examine, and I know that those things do get examined on an annual basis. That's been one of controversy. I remember earlier in the year where, you know, that was a particular problem and there was a rule introduced to stop that from happening, and that's largely worked throughout the course of the season. The great thing about our game, Paul, is that it's very emotionally driven, and that's why it's so popular. And, you know, you can get 50 people around a table, show them a videotape, and depending on their point of view and, you know, what prism they look at it through, half will say one thing as an outcome and the other half will say another. So we're never going to get universal agreement on those things. But the rules and the interpretations, that's an area that I'll have some carriage and some input into.
Well, so you'll be the boss, though.
Yeah, that's right, Paul. But you obviously have to consult on these things. But the thing that I would say is that you need to consult, you need to get other points of view, but then you need to make a decision. Mm. And, you know, I haven't even got my feet under the desk yet, so I'm not going to preempt what we might do once we sit down and look at those things.
But Graeme, you have been around the game for a long time. You're a former referee. Surely you've got an opinion on how that should be adjudicated going forward.
Yeah, I of course, Paul.
But why can't you tell us what that is?
Well, yeah, of course. My opinion is that the player was in the ruck.
Yeah.
But that's just a personal view. Like I said, you know, you'll get countless other people that will go the other way.
Hmm.
So, you know, my opinion's no better than anyone else's, except I have to ultimately, in my new role, make recommendations on what we implement, and I'll be doing that.
Yeah, but some would argue your opinion should be more important than others and should be more than others because you're the boss.
Well, it's only more important, Paul, because I guess I get to recommend...
you get the final say.
Final outcome. Yeah, correct, yeah. Correct. But it doesn't mean I'm right.
No.
And, you know, there'll be plenty of decisions I make where you guys will be calling for my head and telling me it's a ridiculous decision, and I get that, but that's...
We'll give you the summer. We'll give you the summer before we start.
So you know Paul well.
I know what's coming. I've done it before.
But that is your job, though. Let's fast forward 12 months. If the same incident occurred, we would be sitting here today saying what's Graeme Annesley going to do about this. So I'm just curious as to what you would, if you're in the job right now, what would you do?
Well, I've just given you my opinion, Paul. But it's like I said, you know, there are, you can go through every game every week and find countless decisions where you could say, well, you know, what's the game going to do about this?
Okay.
And the thing I said to Todd when he spoke to me about doing this role is that, you know, I have no magic wand. You know, putting me in the chair is no different to putting anyone else in the chair. There's still going to be, you know, massive debate and controversy about a whole range of things in the game. But what I want to do is I want to take a position for the game, and I want to be able to stand up publicly and defend that position and let people disagree. But, you know, we'll always, while ever I'm there, we'll take a public position on this stuff.
Okay. What about just throwing some things up at you now? What about things like interchange? Are you a fan of that coming down?
Personally, and these are, remember, these are personal views. My personal view at this stage is that, again, as long as the evidence is that the players aren't being put at risk, then yeah, I probably am. You know, I think it is a game of attrition.
Yeah. What about the captain's challenge?
Yeah, and I'm not such a fan of that. You know, I think that's. We've got technology. We've got to make sure we use it right. The technology never fails in this situation. It's always the people operating it. And the problem with the captain's challenge, as I see it, is that okay, the captain can challenge. If he runs out of challenges, we have another incident that is clearly wrong and it's missed by the referee. And because a captain has no challenges left, we're all going to be happy just to say, well, we let that one go. I would think that most people would say no.
But we do that in cricket and we do that in tennis, where they have a limited amount of challenges. It's player driven, and it's generally accepted that if they've run out of their challenges, it's the player's fault for using them on frivolous exchanges.
Yeah, I know, Paul. I agree with you. We're not cricket, though, and we're not tennis. And I know exactly what would happen if a team has run out of challenges and there's an absolute shocker of a mistake. Everyone would be saying, we've got the technology, why aren't we using it? And like I said, there's no right and wrong answers on these. They're just matters of opinion.
Yeah, I get that. I just happen to differ.
Yeah, well, that's the great thing about our game, mate. People will differ.
Of course. Yeah. Well, we've been arguing for 20 years. So, yeah.
Of course we have. And we'll continue.
What about the Gold Coast Titans, Graeme? You're about to leave there, as you touched on, in a couple of weeks. But in the bigger picture, what type of a position do you think that the Gold Coast Titans are in? And has it been a success, this second crack at setting a side up there?
Yeah, look, it has, mate. I mean, I know people would say, well, look where you finished on the table. How can you say that? And I know that the, you know, general public and the fans, they tend to gauge the success of a club by, you know, where they finish on the competition ladder. But there's a lot more that goes into pulling a club together than just that. Now, of course, we're all striving as hard as possible to finish in the eight and to, you know, press for top four and press for winning competitions. And I've got no doubt that the Titans are going to be doing that in the not-too-distant future. But to do it, you've got to have a solid base. You've got to have a sustainable financial model. You've got to have good people. You've got to have a good board with good governance. You've got to have the right structure around the business. And I think we've got all of those pieces in place. We've got a new coach who's only got a year under his belt, so he's really been formulating the team the way he wants it over the last 12 months. And if you look at our roster and go through them one by one, then, you know, we've got a roster that has every right to be competing for finals, and I've got no doubt that that's going to happen.
One thing I'm really concerned about at the Titans, Graeme, is the loose attitude the club's got towards its ambassadors. they generally just let anyone with a...
You know, loose lips.
They generally let anyone in the door that's prepared to turn up. Are you going to sort of look at that before you go and just say, listen, we need to start... If we're going to have ambassadors, we're going to have guys who actually start contributing to the club rather than just trying to look for freebies from it?
I think that's a little bit outside of my remit, so I probably haven't got time to fix that one before I go.
Yeah, he's hard to dislodge once he's in, I tell you.
All right, Graeme. Good on you, mate. Good to catch up with you.
Okay, no worries, guys. Thank you.
And all the best with the new job. There he is, Graeme Annesley. Thanks to Celebrations joining us on Sunday Triple M NRL. We're rocking the NRL finals with Paul Kent, with James Hooper, Gordon Tallis and Maroon. Still plenty to come. We're going to do a little thing called Around the Grounds. We'll just dig in and have a little bit of a look at some of the issues going on around town that may or may not involve the finals. We'll say goodbye to Hoops. And we'll talk about the Raging Bull too. That's a segment where Gordy Tallis just, we let him off the chain and he talks about what's on his mind, what's annoying him, what's upsetting. Plenty to come, so stick right there. Triple M rocks the NRL finals. Oh yeah, Sunday Triple M NRL looking at what's going on across the final series, what's going on outside the final series as well in the course of the afternoon. But let's talk about these crowds at the games over the weekend. Now, we had 19,211 people for Penrith Cronulla. Last night, a tad over 48,000. It was a wonderful crowd, wonderful atmosphere too. I was at that game at ANZ Stadium. Now, we've got... I was invited. I went along and I was invited. Okay. It was lovely.
And just, yeah, looked after and, if you gave everyone a little talk.
Yeah, I just
you said a few words in the Millennium Room, I think.
Yeah, no, it's a Churchill Club, we call it. And Nathan Hindmarsh. Yeah. I don't know that he was there for love, though.
Yeah. No, he's probably probably on the same rate you were.
No, I was there. I was getting paid in Sang Shui Bao and Dim Sims.
Please. Wow, Dim Sums.
Now,
are they tax deductible?
In Sydney, we in Sydney we call them Dim Sims, mate.
Okay,
Dim
cool.
Sums. What do you? Where do you come from? Adelaiders. Who calls them Dim Sums?
Yeah.
19,211 people at Cronulla Penrith, not where I come from. 48,000 and just over Rabbitohs and the Dragons last night. A wonderful atmosphere is that game, as I was saying. This weekend we've got the Rabbitohs and the Roosters at Allianz. That game probably better suited to ANZ. We've got a game in Melbourne, though, on the same night, the Collingwood AFL. So there's a big AFL final happening at the same time, which will probably be a sellout. That's going to affect any chance we had of getting a good crowd at the NRL in Melbourne, I would think, coming up this weekend. But some of these crowds have been a real letdown, Hoops. I have said, as a rugby league supporter and a paid member of a rugby league team, I think the NRL, we can be critical of how much tickets are, how much food is, when games are scheduled, but sometimes people just aren't going, and I just think people have lost their obligation to go and support their team. And I think especially if your team's going crap, that's when you should most be going to watch them and support them.
I'm a bit mystified about it all, Anthony. I mean, look, you go back to when we were kids and there was only a couple of games broadcast on television. So if you actually wanted to see the game, well, you had to go to the game. And that was how you would watch it. But obviously technology has changed the world nowadays, and there's so many alternative options in terms of entertainment, not just sporting, but everything else that's there in the mix as well. So it is disappointing, no doubt, that especially I thought Friday night, you know, like that's two Sydney teams, Cronulla and Penrith, and they've both got loyal, passionate followings. You'd like to think that you can get, you know, close to 40,000 at Allianz Stadium. We will see it there for the Roosters and the Rabbitohs game, no doubt about it. I think that's a guarantee to be a sellout, and that'll be an absolute cracking contest. But I don't know what the answer is in terms of improving the crowds, whether it's bring back reserve grade before the main game's played, whether
you've
it is...
You've got to improve the game experience.
Yeah.
How do you do it, Kenty?
I tell you why. I'll tell you a story about someone I know who went to watch Manly play the Gold Coast Friday afternoon, 6 o'clock game, Brookvale Oval. They rocked up. Just before the game started, the little caravans that sell the beer still hadn't opened. Teams ran onto the field. He said to a bloke, mate, is there any chance you're going to actually open up so we can have a beer while we watch the game? Oh, sorry, mate. Yep, doing it now. They're running a bit late. So they opened up. What happens is at half time, he went back to get another beer, and they said, mate, light beer only. He said, mate, it's 6:45 Friday afternoon or Friday evening.
Yeah.
And because of this archaic rule we've got where it's mid-strength beer after half time, which is absolutely stupid, he can only have a light beer at 6:45 on a Friday night. Now, if you want to go out and set your night up by going to the footy first before you go and have a few drinks with your mates later, that's not the way you get people in. I just think the way that clubs, and they're all being conditioned, I don't think it's the club's fault, because it's just the way that everything has naturally evolved. But we've gone down this track where we make it really unfriendly to go to the ground. And that's in every manner. That's from the young single blokes, which has got the disposable income, to the families who, by the time you get three kids in, you've got to hand over one of your children just to get the loan. You know what I mean?
It does add up.
There's not a market, whether it's young single men who've got all the money, young single women, families, or pensioners. What market is it actually beneficial? Do they have an advantage over everyone else? I can find reasons for all those people not to go to the game.
But at the end of the day, though, Paul, if say two teams that say, like you're saying, Hoops, that's Penrith and Cronulla. They've both made the finals. The winner's only one game away from the grand final. At some point, aren't supporters obligated to get in the car, get the kids in the car, and go and watch them play?
Not when the
experience is better. But it's expensive, some of them.
This is it. That's it. Gordy's hit the nail on the head there. Like sometimes, let's say you're coming from Penrith or Cronulla, by the time you get the kids in the car, get to the game, pay the price of admission for everybody, you're looking at way over probably $140, $150. Whereas if you stay at home, watch it on TV, you can get a pizza and, you know, a couple of soft drinks and whatever you like. And
no one likes parking. No one likes parking at games anymore. And then we're compared to AFL, right? It's actually probably better to go watch an AFL game live than what it does.
Oh, here we go.
What? Than what it is on TV, right? So it's actually better to go watch it live because you can't see everybody running. The football, rugby league on television is absolutely perfect. The experience to sit at home and not line up is better. The coverage is unbelievable. There's 17 cameras. You get everything. You don't have to line up. You don't have to queue up. So for rugby league, we've got to make it cheaper and we've got to make it a better experience. Don't want to drive in. You don't want to find a park. You don't want to walk 20 minutes. You don't want to drive around 20 minutes looking for a park. And where the stadiums are built, no one likes going to them.
Unfortunately,
you go to Sydney, everybody whinges about ANZ. They whinge about Allianz. They whinge about Leichhardt Oval. They whinge about Redfern. You're a bunch of whingers. Get up and go to the footy.
That's what I'm saying, Gordon. Get up and go to the footy.
At Suncorp, but the stadium's right in the middle. You can catch public transport. You walk there. There's bars. There's an atmosphere around there. You go to some of these grounds, there's nothing around them. You go to Melbourne, the reason why there's big crowds, there's everything around the stadiums. The stadiums are built in the right... The stadiums are built in the right area.
Mate, ANZ Stadium is in the middle of Sydney. It's next to Parramatta. It's next to Penrith. It's next to the Bulldogs. The Rabbitohs play there.
Yeah, but
the West Tigers play there.
Hold on. Can I just read the fine? Can I read the fine print, Mr. Ambassador for ANZ Stadium?
I'm not an ambassador for anything. But at some point, people just need to get. Like, they go and watch them train. They whinge about them when something goes wrong. They jump on board when something goes right.
They can't afford to go.
That's rubbish. Not everybody can.
Tickets are expensive.
I know tickets are expensive.
A pie's like $7.
Holidays are expensive.
A beer's like $10.
I get that. I get that. But at some point.
I love Gordon sound like he's bought one.
Yeah.
I do buy beers. And I do
sure
buy
you
pies.
Do buy beers. But I'm
and I buy pies like, and a hot dog and a bucket of chips. Last week at Suncorp Stadium, it was $17 for a bucket of chips and a hot dog or something like that. It was ridiculous.
But it's cost the same to take the kids to watch the wrestling when it's in town or go and watch a concert or take them to the Easter show or the Edgar.
But Anthony, what you're talking about are once-a-year experiences against an every-week experience. Unfortunately for rugby league, it's a long-term fix to fix endemic problems in the game. You go to ANZ. Problem with ANZ, there's one bar, two bars now that sell beer before the game. You go there, you've got at halftime, if you're having a, and I'm talking about if you're going there without your family, at halftime, after halftime, they only sell light beer. So therefore, you're basically working on your hangover for the rest of the night. You know what I mean? But to go anywhere from Homebush after the game, when you've been sitting on half-strength beer for the second half, to then get on a 40-minute train ride, it kills your night. Okay, that doesn't happen in Melbourne or Suncorp, where you can walk 200 yards up the road and you're at the Caxton or several other pubs that are in the vicinity. This is the issue we've got. We've got to start thinking. Rugby league has got to stop thinking like every other sport and treating everything like every other sport, and actually identify the problems that are specific to our sport, and we need to then fix those problems so it makes it a better experience for the families, for the young single blokes that want to have a night out, for the old age pensioners who have followed South Sydney their whole life but can no longer go because they can't either get there or they can't, you know, they're afraid of public transport or they can't afford the seats once they get there. Whatever their reasons are, we need to identify that. I think, we had a sellout recently, Cameron George over there at the Warriors, where they put on a night where they said, pay what you can afford to pay. That's how much you paid for a ticket. Whatever you thought was fair, whatever you could afford, that's how much you paid for a ticket. They had a full house. That shows you straight away that pricing is probably an issue in our game.
Okay, as they say on the AM stations, we've got a whole board of calls here, boys. 133353, let's take some of them now. D, what did you want to say about ticket pricing and crowds in the NRL, D?
I wasn't just about the ticket pricing, guys. I think getting numbers to the game is the time they're on. I mean, you look at all the mums and dads that work full time. So hard to get to a venue with a 7:30, 7:45 kickoff on a Friday with traffic, etc. You know, you want bums on seats. Look at yesterday's game. Everyone could get there, you know?
You're absolutely right, D, too. The other thing, 6 o'clock game in Sydney on a Friday is ridiculous because you can't get anywhere by 6 o'clock on a Friday if you have to go home and get the kids.
Okay, thanks, D. Good point. 133353 is our number. We'll come back to some of those calls in a moment. I think Shane actually is on the line. Shane, what did you want to say about it, mate?
Mate, going to Melbourne, that's fine. You've got the train line running straight next door to the MCG and places like that. SFS. Allianz doesn't have a train line. You've got to get off at Central, catch a bus or walk up the road. Parramatta Stadium, you used to get off the train and walk 500 metres. You've got to get off at Lidcombe and catch another train to ANZ Stadium. It's not the same, mate.
And that's not the game's fault. That's the government.
Exactly.
That's true.
So what you're
Let's
saying...
Let's get into the government.
No, can I ask Shane, what you're saying is, you love... What team do you support?
I follow the Panthers, mate. I travel to Penrith to watch the Panthers.
Oh, well, that's what we're looking for. More people like you in the game. But I don't think it's an issue to ask people. They don't want to support their club too but much if they don't want to get off the train at Lidcombe and get another train. My God, this is what I mean. How bad do you want to go and watch?
Marin.
No, this is...
No, you're crazy.
You got what? So the scheduling's bad. The pricing is bad.
Oh, hang on.
The teams
are
bad.
All right for you when you turn up and you've got your free parking ticket and you get there and you go in and you're getting paid $1,000 or $1,500 to do a cash you before the game.
No, that's not the point.
And then if you're not working, you leave. You leave 20 minutes into the game.
Oh, that's rubbish.
Yes, you do.
But this is where the NRL should be lobbying the government to actually start getting, and they do for some games, get direct lines from Central straight to the game at ANZ Stadium. So they do that. But we need to start bringing in more government involvement, more government infrastructure around these grounds to make it easier for people to park or people to get public transport to the game. That's my say.
Okay. Thanks, Kenny Hoops. Would you like to add anything?
I totally agree with what Shane said about the trains. You don't want to have to change trains when you go into the football. Other states, it's a lot easier. It's a lot more convenient.
Okay, 133353. We're going to take another call, I think, are we? Yeah. Yes, we do. And that would be Kate. Kate's on the line on 133353. Kate, what would you like to say?
Hi, I just wanted to comment because I'm an avid Penrith supporter, always have been, and I posed the question on my social media on Friday night because you could see the crowd at the big stadium was dismal, and I just think at the end of the day, people don't want to go to a stadium with a capacity of 80,000 people when there's 10,000 there. I know that when we go to Penrith Park or if the game was at Shark Park, I do honestly think it would have been a sellout because... It's a greater atmosphere. It's more enjoyable. You're running to your mates, you know, and if you have to line up for snacks or beer or what have you, you can turn around and watch the game. You don't have to watch it on a small monitor. And I think some of the men had a good point when they said, you know, when you go to a large stadium, you do pack the kids in. It takes you 45 to an hour and a half to get in there. Then you've got to walk 10 kilometres from the stadium parking. Then someone's got to go and line up and spend $70 on snacks before they can even watch the game. I mean, these large stadiums, you know, I understand the money component, but I think at the end of the day, the NRL has to have a good look as to what's more important, the crowd numbers or the sponsorship money, because I think a lot of people would agree with me when... there's far greater crowds when it's at their local ground.
I think you're spot on. I think you're putting Gordon in danger of a job here talking so much sense. So,
good on you, Kate.
Thanks, Kate.
So there you are. We've settled that. The trains are no good. The venues are no good. The scheduling's no good. The food's no good. The bar is no good. The beer is no good. But you'll find that it's all okay when your team makes the finals and the grand final, and you'll all jump on board and everything will be okay.
And the brand new jerseys start getting bought.
Sunday.
Like all the South jerseys that got bought last night. You should have seen them at Peter Wynn School.
Oh, you were there at Peter Wynn School last night, were you?
Yeah,
were you?
Yeah.
Sunday Triple
Working
M-
overtime.
Sunday Triple M NRL, that's Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, James Hooper and Maroon. We're going to be talking rugby league right through to the finals and the grand final. You'll catch it all on the Triple M Network. The highlight of our show, the award-winning segment, The Raging Bull. The Bull gets let out of the pen very shortly as Triple M rocks the finals.